worried there because there's a story I really wish he wouldn't tell, but that's for another time. But I'd like you to open the Word of God, please. Two verses. One is found in Matthew 6 and 33. Matthew 6 and 33. And this verse was given to me as I was in my teenage years by my youth committee. And every time I went and I said something wrong, every time that I maybe did something that wasn't right in my sinful state, they would have always pointed me in this verse. It always appointed me to this verse in love, and they always told me, Matthew 6, 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." I'd like you to open your Bible, please, another verse. It is found in Exodus 32, and the verse 26. And this verse was used on the night that the Lord spoke to me, the night in 2007, when the Lord came in and the Lord dealt with me. And this verse says, "Then Moses stood on the gate of the camp and said, Who is in the Lord's side? Let him come unto me." You know, I have a testimony maybe of a lot of people in this room. A lot of people, you can say that the same as me, that you were once brought up in a Christian family. And you can say with the verse that's found in the Bible, "From a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation." And I knew at the age of 4 years old, because I was sent to every meeting my parents could send me to. I was sent to Sunday school, church twice every Sunday, and then I was sent to the Wednesday meeting during the middle of the week, and whatever other meetings my parents could send me to, because my parents were faithful in teaching me the Word of God. And from that, at the age of 4, I knew this one simple fact, that if I died, I would go to God's hell. And that is no different to anybody in this room. If you die and you're unsaved, no matter of what age, I was only 4 years old, but I was not a sinner because of the first sin I had committed. I was a sinner because of my nature. See, we are all born sinners. And even though at 4 I can't remember doing anything bad, but I still, under conviction, that I knew that I needed to be saved. I bowed my head. I can remember the day. I was running up my farm and I had a bag and a scoop on this side and the cows were behind me. And I was just giving them their meal. And I remember I just bowed my head and just asked, "Lord, forgive me." Wasn't anything special, but I just prayed, "Lord, forgive me." And I must say, I do believe that there was sufficient evidence that there was a work of grace done then. And I do believe at 4 years old, that was the day of my salvation. But I want you to remember that one statement I've just made there. There was sufficient evidence. And I want to ask you, if you're going back in your childhood profession tonight, and you're cold in heart, you're not walking with God. The Bible says if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, and we have fellowship one with the other, then the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all of our sin. And I hope tonight that you don't just have a profession, as I had for a long, many years. All I had until the age of 15 years of age was a profession. And that's not something that anybody or myself wanted to go out and meet God with. But as I went on through my life, I just was like any other young person. I just went to church and minded my own business, and I grew up. And I went on until it became to high school. And this is what I said. This is like a testimony like most other young people in this room. It came to high school. And I made a clear choice in my mind that I wasn't going to take my stand for God. As far as I was concerned, Christianity was for the losers. Christianity was for the people that I didn't really want to hang about with. But you know, thank God tonight that you may put it in this term, but now people think of me as the loser because I am a Christian. And there's no better thing. You may think that you will get persecuted for being a Christian. Yes, you will. But the Bible says, "Persecuted but not forsaken. Cast down but not destroyed." And I've experienced that since coming back to the Lord. Times when people have laughed at you and mocked at you. But I tell you this, the Lord will reward you. Them that honour me, I will honour. And I took that clear choice and that clear stand that I was just going to go with the flow. I made new friends. Wasn't the right maybe group of friends to be with, but I went with them and we did everything, and I thought that they were my best friends, and I thought, you know, this is life. This is what it's all about. It's whatever makes you happy, that is life. And I was just living for myself, and I grew colder and colder and colder. And I'm not going to stand up here and say that I fell deep and bad into sin, because I didn't. But even one wee margin away from God is still too far to fall. And I have regrets, even from 4.5 years of being a young person, I have regrets. That is what the devil does. You see, the devil promises you everything, and he will give you nothing. When you come to Christ, you really only then see what Christ can give you. And you only see the things that the devil wanted you to be destroyed. But As it was going on through my life, there was a time whenever a Christmas time. It was December 2006, and I was down the town with my friends. It was Christmas turning on the lights in Macrofelt. And I remember thinking to myself that night, as I was going out with my friends, the outreach team will be down here. And they were mostly people from my own youth, and they were the last people I wanted to see, because one of them here, my brother Andrew, he was in it. He would think nothing of coming up to you and slapping you back and going, "Well, are you walking with God?" There was three people in particular, and they would have always challenged me, and they would always have gave me that verse to seek first the kingdom of God. And I remember that night trying to hide from them, and I seen them out of my eye, and I would have went away from them, and I didn't want to be associated with them. But then what happened that night was I got into a bit of trouble, and I was sort of just walking around, and then I bumped into one of them. And he was the last person I wanted to see, but I must say that I had great respect for him. And maybe, Christian, in this meeting, you're witnessing to maybe a family member or to a friend. If they have your respect, then you have a good standing with them. If they see Christ in your life, then they cannot deny that there is existence of God. I have proved that many a time in witnessing in school. People will say, "What about evolution?" Well, and then I say to them, "What about my changed life?" They have no argument against a changed life. And I knew he was a sound, saved young man, and he didn't say anything to me. He just said these words, "Andrew, you shouldn't be here." And with that, he turned and he walked away. And that night, I didn't fall under conviction, but I got really angry. And I turned around and I said to myself, "Well, why did he say that to me?" And it grew bitterness up within me. But I knew, looking back now, that God had that young man there for a purpose. And later on, just through the next month, for some reason I began to start to pray. And it was one particular prayer, and it was the Lord's Prayer. And I do not have a clue, or I cannot tell you why I started to pray the Lord's Prayer every night, or I opened up my Bible and glanced over one verse, I do not know. But it eased my conscience. That's all I can say. And it came up to one night on the 25th of February that I, after coming from my own church, went to Randallstown. And it was the night that the Americans from Crown College, they were first over. And I was annoyed because I got put in the wee back room and I wanted to be upstairs with my friends. So I had this real annoyance, and I just decided not to listen. And I never listened to the word of God being preached that night. And that, I never listened at any time. So over them couple of years, my Sunday nights were spent up at the back row with a pen and paper making out West Ham's next week's football team. And that's not something that I ever want to boast in, because I love the word of God now, and there's nothing that thrills my soul than hearing the word of God being faithfully preached, but that comes because of God. And I went through the meeting and never felt any conviction until it came to the appeal. And I don't know where this verse came from. I don't know, maybe I learnt it as a child, or maybe I learnt it or glanced over it at some stage in my life, but the Lord brought to remembrance this one verse. The verse I read you in Exodus 32, and in the verse 26, said, "Who is in the Lord's side? Let him come on to me." And that night, a battle went on in my mind. A battle went on, and the devil was telling me, "Don't turn to God." And God was there with pardon. And I knew I wasn't right with God. And I knew that night I needed to get it sorted. And I thanked God for his goodness and for his grace. And that night, he called me with that effectual call, and I came. And I asked him for forgiveness. And you know, that night, there was a change. I didn't walk out of that meeting the same as I went in, because if I had walked out of that meeting, or if I had been standing in this pulpit without any evidence of being truly saved, then all I have is a profession. I want to ask you the question tonight, when you look back on the time that you were saved, Christian, was there a change in your life? I can testify of one change in my life, and that was my language. It surprised me. The next day I went into school, and to my shame I had an awful mouth, and I often took the name of the Lord in vain. But my mouth from that day on was changed. And you know, that's what God does. You can't see how bound you are by sin. Unsaved person in this meeting, you can't see how bound you are by sin. Because you are blind. You are blind by your sin. The Bible says that I was once a bondman in the land of Egypt. And Egypt in the Bible is a picture of the world. And sinner, you cannot see it, but you are bound to your sin. I want you tonight, are you happy to go on in your sin? Are you happy to go on with them chains, with the devil telling you lies, that you're going to find happiness, peace, and eternal security if you keep on going on in the way that you're going. On Wednesday night, are you saved? Or on the Friday nights and Saturday nights, are you found in the places of the Word? Do you know, I thank God that night, and I always thank God for this, that I never stepped inside a nightclub. I thank God that I can testify tonight to God's goodness that I never touched alcohol. Do you know why? Because God was good. And I have no doubt in my mind that I would not be here tonight. I have every sense in my mind that I would be in the places of the Word right now if God had not stepped in. And I thank Him so much for it. Because I hear people getting up and testifying. And they have to testify at the places they went. And they tell about the scars. And I thank God that even though I have regrets about sin, God has saved me from a lifetime of scars. You see, the devil that night, he told me that I would be missing out on life. But you want to know what I found out that night? God gives life. Jesus Christ says in John 10, verse 10, I am come that ye might have life. Ye might have it more abundantly. You think, young person, that you will find life in Kelly's nightclub. You think that you will find life in the fort. I tell you this, not because I have experienced it, but because I now see clearly. And I see what the devil does to people that go to places like that. And I see all he wants to do with taking you to places like that is enslave you and bind you and take you to a lost sinner's hell. I wonder tonight, are you saved? Once the night, every time I ask you that question, are you still running back to that childhood profession? Or do you know tonight that there is sufficient evidence in your life that you are saved? Does the Spirit of God bear witness with your spirit, as it talks about in the book of Corinthians, that you are a child of God? You know, I just want to talk about two things God gave me that night. God gave me life, and God gave me liberty. And a third thing, God gave me reality. The reality is that God just, it became clear. And I hope it becomes clear to you tonight. You go on in your sin, you'll end up in God's hell, where there is no mercy. No mercy for the unsaved. There shall be weeping, there shall be wailing, there shall be gnashing of teeth. Young person, are you happy and content to go on in your life? This is reality. Sin does not pay for eternity. Sin is the pleasures of sin for a season does not weigh up going and is not worth going to God's hell. I thank God that He saved me. I thank God that that night He gave me reality, liberty. As I've really run over these points, and I'm sorry for going over myself, but I'm nervous. But liberty. The Bible says that I was once a bondman in the land of Egypt. Unsaved person, you can't see it, but you are bound by your sin. You are bound. Do you know why you have to keep going out after sin? Do you know why each time the sin has to increase and increase and increase? Because you're seeking for satisfaction. Because you're bound to that course of sin. You're on that broad way which leadeth to destruction. I'm happy that I'm set free. Because Christ, for what Christ did on the cross, and He shed His precious blood, that Andrew Simpson could have redemption. That Andrew Simpson could have his chains loosed. And that I could be a child of God. I wonder, are you happy being bound by your sin? Also God, and this is the last one, God gave me life. I am come that ye might have life. And that ye might have it more abundantly. John 10, verse 10. You may think that what the devil gives you is life. You may think about what the devil gives you is pleasure. But I'm telling you this. Upon the authority of God's word again, pleasure and sin last but for a season. And see, I'm drinking at that fountain that never shall run dry. I'm feasting on the manna from a bountiful supply. You see, I have 100% sure that I will always be satisfied with Christ. And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ. And now I say, Christian, don't get fooled. God saving you from hell is but a byproduct of what He's done for you. Christian, evangelism is about a byproduct. Christian, going to church and attending the prayer meetings is but a byproduct. Yes, they are extremely important, and I'm not putting them down. But the main theme, The main goal of being a born-again Christian is to know God. And this past couple of months, God has really shown me that through the Word. And definitely through that verse in John 17:3, that it is life eternal to know God. I wonder tonight, Christian, do you know God? I'm not asking you, are you saved? So don't run back to that date in your Bible. Christian, I'm asking you, do you know God? Because you either know God or you don't. You're either saved or unsaved. You can go back and say, I was saved at such an age. But then again, the fruit of being a real born-again Christian is having the evidence that you know God. And I can testify tonight that even though I know a very 0.001% of God, I still know a bit of him, and that is life eternal. I tell you this, there's nothing sweeter. There's nothing sweeter than knowing God. I tell you this because a couple of months ago I went under real torment from the devil. I ran under real torment and the devil was throwing me up things saying, you're not saved, look at you, you're not saved. And I was on my knees and was praying to the Lord, Lord, I know I'm saved, but I need something to show to the devil. I need something, I need a word from you, Lord. And that night I went into my readings and I read Deuteronomy 33:27. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And them words came with power. The very moment I read them words, a peace came over my soul. It took me a while to accept it in faith, but that it was a word from God. And there's nothing sweeter than being in torment from the world and then getting a verse from God. Christian, that is life. That is life, to have the very ear of God in prayer. And I can also tonight, I hope by what I'm doing here is giving you, this may seem strange, but you are my jury. And I am in the stands, and what I am doing here is giving you evidence that I am saved. Because what I've been trying to get to you through this whole testimony, it's not enough to have a childhood profession. It's not enough to have a date in the Bible. You need to know God. That is what makes the difference, young person. It is to know God. And it is to have the fullness of life. Paul says that I might know him. I pray you'll say that as well tonight. And I can lay before you answers to prayer. And one of the most greatest answers of the prayer, all of God, nothing of me, for I'm only a sinner saved by grace. But one of the greatest answers to prayer was, I was praying one night in my house with another brother in Christ. And I was praying earnestly to God for a wee young boy from children's meeting. And it was over the summer and the children's meeting was off. And the next day was outreach on the 12th of July. And I was praying, Lord, speak when we cannot speak. Lord, move when we cannot move. The next day we went out, done our business, went down the town and gave out the leaflets and the tracts. And I went home and I prayed, Lord, I'm going to Scotland tomorrow to do outreach. Lord, give me a token of good that you'll be with me. Lord, give me an answer to prayer, a definite, sincere answer to prayer. And then about 2 hours or so later, the brother that was praying with me the night before rang me up. And he says, you know, Andrew, you know the boy Leon Love? And I says, yes. And we'd been praying for him the night before. And he says that what happens was somebody had took a gospel track. And somebody took that gospel track and they threw it on the ground. But that gospel track, the wind carried it. It blew down the street and the wee boy got up off his granny's knee. He ran over, he's only 4 years of age, and he picked it up. He came back over and they told him to go read it in the car. He got into the car and he came out a while later and he says, I want to get saved. But you know what I can say about that young boy? There is evidence in his life that he's saved. Do you know what I see him doing now at the end of every meeting? He folds his hands. And whenever the person at the front of the meeting prays, he prays it too. You might think, well, that's not right or theologically right, but I'll tell you this, childlike faith. And there's evidence in his life that he's saved. Christian, is there evidence in your life that you're saved? Or are you living just a sham? Is that all your Christian life is? Just a sham? Just a lifestyle? Do you only have the name tie? Or do you have the possession? Do you have a profession of faith at a young age? Or do you have sincere profession? Possession. I have possession tonight. I wonder what you have. And you know, just to leave this with you. And I hope I haven't over my time. But a young girl said to me this week, I challenged her whether she was saved or not. The young girl turned around to me and she says, no, Andrew, I'll just take the gamble. I'll have my pleasure in sin, and you know, I'll gamble my life. Young person, are you gambling your life in sin? Are you down at Kelly's nightclub every Friday and Saturday night trying to find some pleasure in your sin? Or are you taking that gamble? Do you know the word? These words from Galatians 6 and verse 7 came to my mind whenever she said that. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You could stand in the word. You think that you're getting away with it. You think that you are getting away with your sin. But I tell you this, I studied Daniel this week for the children's meeting. I brought the word, and do you know the one thing I realized? The one thing that really struck me. God broke up Belshazzar's party. And tonight, I warn you, if you are going on in your sin, God will break up your party. Whether it be in this life, whether it be judgment in this life, or judgment on the day that you die, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Don't you be fooled. Christian, don't be fooled as well. Don't live your life on a childhood profession. I urge you in Christ's name tonight to get into the Word of God. To come. Don't just have a profession, but have possession. Unsaved person. I just want to speak to the young people going in, maybe up into high school. Young people, take your stand for God. I wish I could go back to first year and take my stand for God. You know, you get called names. You get laughed at. You get left out. But God honours you. And that'll last an eternity. Young person going into high school, first, second or third year, take your stand for God. Older person, man or woman, don't risk your eternal soul in sin. I can't say I've been to them places, but many, even young men and young women, were in last Friday night. And just think, if I know that, how much more does God know? Don't risk your soul. I haven't been to them places, but I know what the Bible tells me, that the young prodigal son came back with nothing. And I just want to tell you, to sum this testimony up, that I am nothing. With the songs of the hymn writer, I was nothing before he found me. He has given life to me. Stop living on a childhood profession. Thank God I've got more than that tonight. Because of the night that I came back and I put my trust in him, that night God, on the 25th of February 2007, God made a difference. And I am sure, because the eternal God is my refuge, and because his eternal arms are underneath me, I am sure that he will keep me from falling, and he will present me before the Lord. I urge you, Christian, get reality. Have not just a profession, but possession. An unsaved person, learn from the mistakes that others have made. And come, repent. Repent of your sin. And come and put your trust and faith in Jesus Christ. I pray these words have been said for the glory and the honour of God.